I'd like to encourage, if you would, at this particular time, you were told in the beginning by looking at the screen to turn off your phones, but if your Bible is on your phone, turn off your ringer, but punch the button so that you can begin looking at your version of the Word of God. Or you can take up your Bibles and retrieve your message notes from your worship guides. For those of you that are with us in live stream, it's really sweet to know that you're there. I hope that you've downloaded the message notes from the email that we sent out and made available to you. Study notes are always helpful in retaining that which the Holy Spirit reveals to us during a particular time of study together. Well, this has been a really uncommon year, hasn't it? It has been one of those years that I can honestly say, with the exception of the time I spent in the military, has been a very challenging and hurtful year at many levels. Spiritually, it's been hurtful. It's been hurtful for many of us in the way that we have watched people conducting themselves. And then for others, there's a tremendous fear with regard to COVID-19. It's not been a year like any other that I, for myself, can recall in 75 years. And thus far, I'm doing pretty well with senility. We are in such a time that we have watched, more so in this year than even during the Vietnam War in our country when it was turned topsy-turvy, we have watched riot after riot take place in our country. We have watched these rioters beat other people. We have watched these rioters destroy other people's property, break into their establishments, steal their property. It's just been a really awful year. It's been a year where, you know, that I believe the evil one himself hasn't had to wear a mask. He has allowed himself to be right out there, naked, if you will, with the evil that he has been fostering and the evil that is within mankind's fleshly nature. He has built upon that, and evil has been revealed in our country as I can't remember another time like it. It's been very uncommon. It reminds me of a passage that I found myself dwelling in this week that we find in John's Gospel. John was quoting Jesus, and Jesus told us in chapter 10, verse 10, he tells us that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I believe the thief has been in our midst all year long, more so than I personally have watched him acting, except for the time during the war. This is an awful time. However, when Jesus called his people's attention to the evil one in that passage, he would go on to say that I came that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. And I want us to focus this last month and a half of this year, and as we prepare ourselves to go into the new year, I want us to focus on him who is the way, the truth, and the life, our Lord Jesus. And as we have found him in our Gnosko time, as we have read the scripture and He illuminates it to our own heart as to how well we're doing or areas that we could do better in. That we will pursue the do better and to continue to bolster those areas that we're doing well in, so that the world will see him and he will appear on your faces, so to speak, that we will be Jesus in the flesh strongly in this last month and a half and into the next year, so that this country might be encouraged to move in a new direction than the one it has been pursuing for the last decade or so in such strength of the evil one. So it's been an uncommon year, and so I'd like to talk to you this Sunday, and we'll take a couple more Sundays to relay what the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart from the scripture, that we as GHCCers, and you are folks and friends out there in the live stream in other countries and other states, I believe we are being called to think about this, and that is an uncommon life-giving love, to truly pursue this uncommon, not seen very often, but very much enjoyed by so many of us at GHCC, with that rare occasion where it is lacking. The question I have there in your notes says, what do you think of when you hear the words unconditional love? What comes to mind? Do you think of Webster and a dictionary sort of definition of unconditional love? Do you see in your mind's eye, so to speak, an image of unconditional love being lived out, expressed by someone in particular? I heard of an elderly man who had a serious hearing problem. And I just found out my kid brother is starting to have problems with his hearing, so I'm not referring to you, Kelly. There are more and more people in the church that are sharing with me that their hearing is not what it once was. But I've told this story another time, and for those of you who've heard it, you'll just have to hear it again.
Why?
Exactly, Gary. Exactly. So this gentleman, he's gotten older, and he does not hear well at all. And the family knows that, and they've gotten tired of having to repeat themselves or to talk louder. And so they sent him off to see a audiologist. And the audiologist tested him, and sure enough, he is very, very profoundly losing his hearing, and talked him into the newest high-tech, most expensive pair of hearing aids that one can buy today. And so he bought them, and he put them in, and then the audiologist says, it's important that I see you in 2 weeks for adjustments, potentially, and to see how you're doing. And he said, okay. Well, in 2 weeks, he finds himself in the audiologist's office, and the audiologist says, well, how are they working? He said, great. You can hear really well? Perfectly well. What does the family think now that you have these new devices? Oh, I haven't told them. You haven't told them? He says, no, I've changed my will 3 times in the last 2 weeks. Now, I don't think that story qualifies as unconditional love. I believe that you'll find it more in my opening statement there in your message notes. Unconditional love is not common. It is difficult at times to find this love being manifested by people. It is a love that is easy to set aside for a cheap version of what one might simply call common love. Common love comes with strings attached. Strings attached to it. A love that says, if you love me, I will love you. Maybe. I will give to you if you will give to me. Common love is often selfishness mitigated, eased, if you will. Common love will not long put up with your unloveliness. It does not always believe in you, nor will it endure hardship for very long with you. I want us to consider unconditional love in a fresh way beginning this morning. It's very easy to love people who are just like us, who dress like us, who think like us, who vote like us, and who worship like us. That does not take much effort on our part. But what about people who are not like us? People who don't understand us? Or possibly it's that we do understand them, but are people we don't agree with. As far as we are concerned, these people are making terrible, horrible, awful, very bad choices. It is easy to size them up from the exterior because you can always tell a book by its cover, can't you? We put them in a box and then think how odd they are, and then we want to social distance ourselves from them. Not 6 feet, not 12 feet, but 120 feet, maybe. But God's love is, as you look in your notes, God's love is not exclusive, but inclusive. It's not exclusive, but inclusive. When we think that God is love, when I first came to faith, it seems like I was either reading or seeing time and time again, God is love. God is love. Have you ever really taken apart those three words? What does it mean that God is love? What does it really mean? What it conveys something different to each of us when we begin to think about it. But God is agape. God is always seeking, as you've been told time and again, but he's always seeking your best, your greatest, your highest good at his expense. God is love. This is what he is. He is the example of what love looks like, feels like, acts like. And he taught from the very beginning, excuse me. He taught from the very beginning that first and foremost, we are to love him in that way. Not in our way, because, well, I'll speak for me, my way oftentimes for him is common love. You do for me, I'll do for you. It's a selfish kind of love, but not agape. Agape is not a human love. It is his love. And it can only be manufactured, if you will, manifested, better word, in your life and mine, if we have God the Holy Spirit living in us. And that means then we have come to an honest faith. We are genuinely disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we see him doing, we long to do, and with his help, we can do, because we are called to a supernatural life. We are his prized possessions. We no longer belong to Satan. We have come out of the dark. We are in the light. And it's very easy for us to see what he is doing and the way he conducts himself and what he has said as to how he wants his children to act. So the fact is God's love is not exclusive. It is inclusive. Even as I was talking with a sweet couple this morning before we began to worship together, we were speaking about how wonderful it is to be part of a church family that is mixed. We're not white, we're not black, we're not yellow, we're not green, we're not purple. We are all in Christ and colorblind. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing to behold. But the world has yet to get there, as we've been listening on the television, on cable TV, in the news media of various kinds. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 16 and 17, probably a verse that all of you, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, have already memorized. It is the term, or the scripture, that one memorizes. But as we look here at 16 and 17, 17 is usually left out in the memorization. We're going to unpack this a little more deeply so that we grasp it from the way our Lord Jesus was really explaining it. Jesus said, "For God my Father so loved you, every one of you, every one of you here and everyone out there beyond these four walls and the ceiling. For God so loved you, you're the world, that he gave his only son." He didn't have 120 of them. He has one son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birthday some of us will celebrate in another month. He gave his only son. This is a gift. This is a tremendous gift, that whoever believes in him, whoever, doesn't matter what the race is, there is no condition with regard to color. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor, that whoever believes in Jesus, the Son of God, should not perish but have eternal life. We will all one day physically, unless we happen to be amongst those that see the second coming, but we will all one day physically perish. But this is the cocoon that we have been living in for whatever amount of years we happen to live in it. But when it dies, the real us, our spirit, will vacate. And it'll go to one of two places. It will either go to hell, to be taken out of hell before the great white throne judgment, and then thrown into the lake of fire with Satan the Antichrist, his prophet, the fallen angels, and all of those human beings who chose not to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their master and savior, redeemer, into their life. They will perish. They will not perish, but have eternal life. Those of us will get to go to heaven even after enjoyed him here from that time that we came to faith. For Abba did not send his son, Jesus, into the world. He didn't send him to you or to me on December 25th. He didn't send him into the world to condemn you, the world, but in order that you and I, the world, so that we, you and me, might live forever. He came into the world to save us through Jesus, through a gift. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, the first letter that John writes sometime after giving us the wonderful gospel that we have in his name. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. In this, agape, the agape love, God seeking your best, greatest, highest good at his expense, was made manifest among us. What was that manifestation? That Abba sent his only son into the world, to you and to me, and all of those people surrounding us, so that we, you and me, might live through him. To enjoy life abundantly through him. The fact is, God's love, his agape, doesn't exclude people who are different. It's not like what we see in American culture. His love is a lovely, sacrificial love that touches people deeply in their beings. It doesn't write people off because they're not where they might be or where we think they should be in life. It does not ignore someone because they are not meeting our standards. How we enforce our standards, not his, but ours, on other people, even as we see taking place through our federal and our state and our county and our city governments, enforcing their will. Not his. In Romans 3, verses 23 through the beginning of verse 25, for all have sinned, everyone, mom, dad, all the kids, all the grandparents, all the aunts and uncles, all the pastors, for sure, have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They come short of God's standard. And are justified. We are lovingly declared not guilty as sinners of our sin. That which would send us to damnation and hell, those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who have received him, we are those lovely people, most fortunate people, who have been justified not by anything that we have done, but by his grace. We are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption of Christ Jesus. Not through Gautama Buddha, not through Muhammad, not through anyone or anything else. We find ourselves wonderfully given this Christmas gift, who is Jesus Christ. He is the gift that has been given, and as people say, the gift that keeps on giving, and that's true. His grace goes on and on with his mercy, as well as this wonderful, unconditional love that he has provided for his children, his friends. So our redemption, it comes through Christ Jesus, whom God the Father put forward as the propitiation, the satisfactory sacrifice. No other sacrifice is possible for this other than your own. You lay down your life, you die for your sins, and you go to hell. We have here in this blessed Christmas gift, Jesus, God put forward as the propitiation by his blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And this is to be received by faith, this uncommon life-giving love. In Romans 5, verses 8 through 9, but God, the parent, shows his agape, his seeking our best and highest good at his expense. He shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, and yet we still sin, but sinning and yet having not received the gift at this point, while we were still sinners, Christ the Son died for us. He took the wrath of God, his Father, that was meant for all of you and me. He took it upon himself that we would not have to suffer it. He died for us. A father and a son are showing this uncommon love that brings life to us. Since, therefore, we have now been, there's that word again, justified, declared no longer guilty, there is no longer any condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. We have now been justified by his sacrifice, his death on the cross, the shedding of his blood. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Amen. What a blessing. Tremendous blessing. So knowing these things, family, and you knowing the way I'm wired, if he tells us about something and he explains something to us intently, he is laying something out as an illuminated portion of Scripture for you not to consider, but for you to take to heart and then create your own action step. This love is talking about action. It was on his part, and now it's on our part. Action step. Unconditional love says, I'm going to love you even if I don't agree with you. I am going to seek your best and your highest and your greatest good at my expense, even though I don't agree with you. I may not agree with your lifestyle. I have friends that are homosexuals, and I choose my words carefully. They are my friends. I love them with agape love, one I had known from high school, when I did not treat him with agape love, but treated him as I was, a son of Satan, mean. But when I got home from the war and after I met Kathy and I was married, we invited him and his friends over and we shared the gospel with Steve. He never made a profession of faith. None of my homosexual friends, well, one, yes, definitely. Definitely, he's serving the Lord. But Steve, he wrapped his car around a light standard one very early morning after leaving a bar and was in a coma for couple of weeks before he passed. I don't know where he went, but I suspect he went to hell. I'm going to love you even if I don't agree with you. I may not agree with your lifestyle. I may not agree with some or all of your doctrine. Dear friend, I've known him since my son started T-ball, 5 years old. My son is 41 years old. For over 20 years, this man who was my son's T-ball coach and little league coach through all the years. We met every Wednesday for 20 years. We go out to lunch, we'd come back to my office and we would pray, and we would pray. But my friend is a charismatic pastor. He's much more animated than I am. I don't mean that kind of charisma. I mean he's a charismatic pastor. He believes in a theology that I don't myself hold to. But we both agreed to just disagree on it, and that wasn't going to be a problem for us. We would just love each other where we are, and I'm sure he was hoping I would eventually get to where he is, just as I still hope he will. For we both stand on opposite sides of that charismatic thought, theology. So I may not agree with your lifestyle, some or all of your doctrine, or the way you're raising your children, the friends you're choosing. But I know this. I know this. And I will never forget this. You are made in the image of God. In the image of God, he made them, male and female. You're made in the image of God, and I am called to demonstrate to you a warm, generous, sacrificial, seeking your best, your highest good, at my expense, kind of life-giving love. I can only do that if I am in the Spirit. I cannot do it in the flesh. I hurt people in the flesh, and it isn't my intent. We need to realize that every person is on a journey. And where a person is right now does not mean this is where they will end up. doesn't mean that at all. They are not a finished product. I'm not a finished product. They're still on the potter's wheel, as you saw in that film at the beginning of our time of worship. He still has his fingers on you and me. And as he moves the clay around and he puts his marks on us, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness. And I'm looked at the humility being etched in here and meekness over here being etched in. And oh, look at the compassion that is covering over all of this. We're still on the potter's wheel, and we need to remember that. And we need to love these people where they're at. And we need to remember that he's not done with us. Each of us, when we find ourselves penalizing ourselves for actions, words that we have used that have hurt other people or insulted the Lord himself by our conduct. We need to remember Philippians 1:6. He's not completed. He is still working on you until the day of Christ Jesus. But so often we will write people off for where they are today or where they have been stuck for a very, very long time. Some of us say, I'm not going to associate with them. They're a mess. No. Stop thinking that way. Our Lord Jesus will use you to sow seeds in their heart through the sharing of his love-filled gospel, the sharing of his word with them. Your friendship, your encouragement to these people is part of Jesus' plan for their lives and yours. The fact is this, and here's your fill-in. Our Heavenly Father is counting on us to be obedient to him. Obedient is another word in the Christian vocabulary for love, agape love. Our Heavenly Father is counting on us to be obedient to him and to be his tool, to be used by him in the life of this other person. You're to be this tool that demonstrates his warm, loving touch in their lives. That'll be making a difference in people's lives. Some of us need to take off the judgmental glasses. You might think that they're a designer, but they're designed by Satan, not by our loving Father. Because if it were not for the favor of our Heavenly Father upon us, who's to say that we would not be just like this person that we are so judgmental love. If it were not for Abba Father's mercy toward us, we could be struggling the same way this person is struggling. If you had been raised in their environment, if you had received the same genetic package that they have received, if you had been taught and been living in the American culture for as long as they have and adopted it and lived it out to the fullest, you might be struggling exactly like they are. The area you are strong in didn't just happen for you. It was given to you by a merciful and loving, most gracious Heavenly Father, when you, by his grace, through faith, confessed and repented of your sins, recognizing that his Son, his only Son, is the one who made it possible for you to be forgiven of all your sins and to be a person filled with God the Holy Spirit, who can exercise gentleness and kindness towards other people, that you use encouraging words to draw people's attention, to build them up, not to tear them down or to embarrass them. Just a thought. When we demonstrate this unconditional love, people may not respond right away. The people that were praying for me to come to faith, it was a good four years plus, and a shock when it happened. When we demonstrate this unconditional love, people may not respond to it right away. It may not seem like it's doing any good in that person's life. They keep making poor choices. But here is the key. Those seeds of love never die. But what do I mean? The key is these seeds of love never die. But what do I mean? Next time, we'll discover more of what he means and I've discovered, and some of you already know. Let's pray. Abba, I want so much to be a man, a godly man, that is a tool in your hands that exercises a warm, loving, ongoing touch. I don't want other people's differences to ever keep me from being a tool in your hand to love this person. And my hope is to love them in such a way that they receive your grace and the gift of faith and confess and repent of their sins and invite Christ to be their master and savior. As a sinner saved by grace, as each of us are who are in your Son, and who have failed to meet your standard day after day, and even year after we have come to faith in your wonderful Son, we look to you and thank you very much for not throwing us away, but you continue to keep us on the potter's wheel, working on our character, working us toward that sanctification that will show us to be genuinely followers and imitators of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Thank you for your unconditional love, Father. Now help my brothers and my sisters, and me especially, to love people the way you love them, and to add in a little bit of that philos as well, so that there is a sense of tenderness and great kindness and caring that comes with it. For I ask all these things in the name of him who is love, our Lord Jesus. Amen.